Well, I want to thank you for allowing us to come up and share testimonies. I'm not one who likes to talk about myself, and so in some ways this is a challenge because I don't overly dwell on myself. I try not to, at least, but we do need to go back at those points in our lives where God has really shown us, in many cases, shown us our own sin. Many cases have shown us something about the way we're living or our environment or whatnot, but have led us to the Word of God and shown us something that we need to take note of. So as I go through, I take it as a testimony that we're talking about what God has done in us and through us, and obviously His salvation is that culminating point at which we come to realize what He has indeed done for us. But I'm gonna start at the beginning because I realize that most of you probably have not heard our story, and so I'll tell you quite a bit about myself leading up to the point of salvation, even beyond what led us here. And I think a lot of you have heard that story, at least immediately, what led us here. The way we have this work this morning is I'm going to talk first, and I'll probably talk the longest, and then Susan will come in and fill in the blanks. So she'll talk about herself, too, in her own testimony, but wherever I've left something out, she'll be sure to fill in those blanks. So, well, I just want to start with a verse that means a lot to me and has meant a lot to me. And I think a lot of you are familiar with this verse. It's Proverbs 1:6, and some of you can quote that, I think. He who began a good work in you. And I just think about that. He who began a good work in me. And you know, when I was younger, maybe it was little perceived what God was doing, but he was already at work. And I look back in amazing ways to see what God has done. So he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so that is comforting. I know that he who began a good work will bring it to a completion. And so we're at this point in our lives at this stage, and he's done a lot of work up to this point, and he will continue to do that work. I was born into a Christian home, and that was a gift. My father actually was a pastor of a Baptist church, Southern Baptist Church. So I grew up in a home where the Word was preached. The Word was taught. We prayed together. It was a wonderful experience. When I look back on that childhood, I would not exchange it for anything. So I had those influences. Went to church, obviously, on a regular basis. Basically, when the church doors were open, we were there. So I had a wonderful childhood. I look back at that childhood, and I just think that was amazing. God providentially placed me in that situation. And some people actually say maybe that's a hindrance. No, it's not a hindrance. It is a wonderful situation. I grew up knowing that God was real. I cannot ever remember thinking that God was not real. It was placed in me from that young age that God is real and He is true. And listened to my father preach the Word, and that was wonderful. Well, it wasn't that my childhood was all easy, of course. In fact, my family, even though my father was a pastor, had some problems. And one of those culminated, or the major one culminated, when I was in fourth grade. And so I was kind of young. I don't really remember everything, and I think nor do my parents have they told me everything about this, but that's okay. But when I was in fourth grade, my parents divorced. And my father, being a pastor, obviously, again, at this age, I didn't quite understand everything, but looking back on it now, my father being a pastor, that brought up a lot of questions and has since brought up a lot of questions, I think more probably in my teenage years and early college years. So that was a pretty traumatic point in my life. I have one brother. He's 2 years older than myself. And so the two of us went to live with my mother, but we were living in the same town as my father. So we had obviously very close and regular contact with our father. In fact, every weekend we would visit and stay with my father. So it's one of those situations where you don't quite again know everything that was happening, what happened, what led to this point. Why did two individuals that they claimed that they love Christ and honor Christ come to this point that they just called it quits? I don't know. I don't know all the details. At this point, I've handed that over to the Lord, and I leave it with Him. I don't necessarily have to know everything, but certainly that shaped my childhood. So I went to live with my mother, and she was a very strong woman. Now she had to work and make money for us to live, and that was difficult, which led us to a point, my brother and myself, to a point where we were often at home alone, just because that necessitated the situation. And so, you know, teenage years, I will just have to say, that was a very, very tough time. I think I was challenged in many ways, not always positive. I didn't always have the best of friends that led me toward a greater knowledge of God. But again, my childhood was one where I was raised in the church and I was raised on the Scriptures. And I had no doubt that God was real. There was no point at which I doubted that. When I was 16 years old, I came to the point that I realized that that my sinful life was one of rejection to God. And so that was the point at which I made the personal decision to follow Christ and to be baptized. And that did happen in the church that my father was pastoring. And so I was baptized at 16. That's, again, where I would say my public profession began. Not that at that point everything was easy. In fact, I think right after that point, things got a lot harder. That was right in the middle of my teenage years and right in the middle of high school, going to a public school. And I had quite a few challenges. But God was with me, and He led me. And I think it was one of these things, just like the Israelites, God with the Israelites, where it seems like they're always moving a little bit forward and faltering again, and moving a little bit forward and faltering. But I thank God for those times. And He did lead me to a greater knowledge of Himself. And I went to college. Went to a secular college, not too far from here, actually, Longwood College, Longwood University now. And I probably went to Longwood College on less than spiritual motivations. In high school, I played soccer, and I really loved soccer. And I excelled at soccer to the point at which I really wanted to play college soccer. And that was my major goal. To play college soccer. So I put in 9 applications to 9 different universities. And the whole reason I did that is to try to see where I might be able to play soccer. And it was Longwood that offered me a scholarship. And so that's where I ended up going. Again, that was less than pure or spiritual motivation. I think I went to Longwood probably just because they wanted me to play soccer for them. But God was working. And so we look again, I look again at my own life and I say, well, all of this, what's happened to me growing up in a Christian home, my parents divorcing, very challenging high school years, going to college to play soccer. But God was there. He was working. And coming in my freshman year, playing on a soccer team that at a secular university. Let me just say it this way. I didn't have a lot of positive influences. It was a challenging environment. But God put on that team an individual that really held me solid. He was a very strong Christian. And I'm so thankful for that. Later, this was my freshman year. In my freshman year, I had roommates that were not positive influences. Let's just say that. Well, this positive influence on the soccer team, it was wonderful because he constantly refreshed me in the scriptures. And also during that time, you know, as I was, I think, struggling entering college life, I was looking for where I would fit in. He led me to some of the Christian organizations on campus, which I became part of, and those were wonderful influences as well. Later, my sophomore and junior year, he was my roommate, so that helped a lot as well as we were together and tried to keep each other accountable to the Word of God. And I wouldn't say that I was always perfect at that, but it certainly was a beneficial time for me. I think I grew a lot at college. In other words, I'd made my profession. I was baptized when I was 16. But I think I grew the most in college. I was on my own. And at this point, I really had to look at my own faith. I had to really delve into the scriptures. And so I think that God put all of these influences together by His providence and brought it together in such a way. It was my sophomore year. Well, I think Susan and I tell a slightly different story. I guess it was the end of our freshman year that I met Susan officially. But it wasn't until our sophomore year that we really started to spend more time together. And she was a part as well of several of the different Christian organizations on campus. And so I knew right away that Susan was someone that would help me grow in my faith, and was such an encouragement to me. And so this was, again, sophomore year in college. Junior year in college, we were still very close friends, encouraging each other, praying. And Susan graduated a year ahead of me from Longwood. So my senior year, I was there on campus. Susan was not there. But I think that was a beneficial time as well, because that was a time that we really sought God and said, "Is this something that you want for us? Do you want us to be together long term?" And the answer to that was certainly yes. So I again, my dates, Susan has all the dates, I'm sure. But I proposed to Susan the summer after she graduated. I think that's correct. And or 1997, 1998. We were married in August of 98. I do remember that. And so we were engaged. She was living and working in and around Bedford, Lynchburg, Virginia area, and I was still at Longwood College studying. And that was a good time, I think, for us. And I grew a lot there as well. We were married August of 1998. And that for both of us, obviously, was a very special moment and time in our lives. And the first year of our marriage, I think both of us would say, was the most difficult. We were coming, even though we were two Christians trying to live by the scriptures, we were selfish people. And I realized I was probably very selfish. You know, that's something you struggle with your entire life as a Christian. It doesn't go away. But I look back on that time in my own life and realize that I was certainly a selfish individual, coming together, the two of us, in one home. And so God had a lot of work to do now on the two of us. But God is always faithful. And so we grew that first year. And it wasn't long in that first year that we realized that God had placed on both of our hearts a desire to serve internationally. And we were, at that point, again, a member of a Southern Baptist church. So we looked for options and prayed about options to serve internationally. And we ended up really feeling that God was leading us to Portugal. We were both teachers by trade, and there was a need there for a missionary teachers and for mission kids. And so we accepted that call. We accepted that position. That would put us in Portugal for 2 years, and we knew that it was a 2-year term only. But we went. We felt like God was certainly leading in this direction, so out of obedience we would go. I had already been out of the country before. Susan had never left the country. So this was international travel was entirely new for her. But for both of us, it was a challenge. But I look back now, and those 2 years, you know, they say after you get married, don't do something drastic. Don't change things drastically because, you know, you got a lot going on anyway, getting used to the marriage situation. Well, it was just a little over a year, and we were touched down in Portugal, Lisbon, Portugal. But those 2 years were amazingly beneficial for the two of us because we were there in a country where we were learning a new language. It was difficult, but who did we have to rely on? We had God first and foremost, but we had each other. And that time we just came together. It was a very beneficial time for our growth as husband and wife. And I think we both look back on that point as somewhat challenging, but very beneficial for our marriage. We grew a lot. God revealed a lot to us about ourselves and about Himself from Scripture. We grew together in study. We served together. It was a very beneficial time for us. 2 years, as I said, was our time in Portugal. We were coming back to the United States, and just to give you a time frame so that you can kind of put all of this in context, we were coming back to the United States from our 2 years in November of 2001. So if you can place the time frame, 2 months earlier, you know what happened. So we were in Portugal at September 11th, and that was, in a way, beneficial for us to be out of the country and to see kind of what was happening from abroad. And I think that drew us together even more. But I just say that to give you an overall time frame of kind of where we were and what was happening. We came back to the United States, and we felt as if God would have us live in a larger city. We grew up in and around Roanoke, as most of you know, that God would have us live in a larger city around more internationals so that we could continue our ministry to internationals. So we chose to move to Richmond, Virginia, and wasn't too far away from our families, and a little larger city than Roanoke, Virginia, and had much more influence with the internationals and ministry. I think that was one of our motivating factors to move to Richmond. But again, God was leading. He was guiding. We went to Richmond. We had a lot of challenges in Richmond, moving to Richmond. Not Richmond itself, but just the moving process. We're coming back from living overseas. I did not have a job at that point. I was looking for a job in Richmond. I was a teacher by trade, as most of you know. That was very challenging. We had already realized at this point that we were expecting our first child, and he would be born in August of 2002. So a lot of things were culminating. But one thing that happened to myself, and looking back, I can only see this as God's divine sovereignty, is I went through a period in my life. It was about a six to eight month period where I was just, I think, spiritually challenged. I think this is twofold. I think that God was really challenging me to walk the walk. During this time, I was, I think, also spiritually assaulted by Satan. There was a culmination of things that were happening, of course, in my own life. But I started to really see, at this point in my life, the depth of my own sin. And it wasn't pretty. It was a very ugly thing. And I thank God from Scripture, of course, as I was delving into the Scripture and memorizing Scripture God was showing me the depth of my own sin. And I can only look at Romans 3. I think many of you are familiar. That passage describing the depth of the sin of humanity. And that was me. Realizing that, coming to that full understanding of my own sin. Not only that, but coming to the full comprehension of God's holiness. And those two things, as many and most of you know, those two things coming together, it's a heavy weight to bear. Realizing how utterly sinful you are and how incredibly holy God is. So that was happening in my own life. And on the reverse side, I think God was manipulating my own thoughts as I was coming to those understandings of just how deep my own sin was, that Satan was trying to take those and produce doubt in me and convince me that I wasn't worth it, that my sin was so grievous that there was no hope. But during this whole time, I never ever doubted who God was. I doubted myself. I doubted my own life. I doubted my own salvation at times. Was I truly saved? All of these things that have happened to me. I mean, again, baptism at 16, profession. I mean, was that real? Was that true? Was that honest? And I think it was. But sometimes, and I'm one of these that struggle, I don't know that exact point in time at which salvation took place in me. I don't know that. I can't name the point in time. But what I do know is this point in time, God really showed me the end of myself. And I was done. I think I was done. I had nothing in me. There was no virtue. I saw really no virtue. But God was faithful again. And He used that to draw me to Himself even more, even stronger, even deeper, to the point that I had to rely on Him and Him alone for salvation, obviously. But for the daily bread, we were struggling for monetarily because I was trying to find a job. We were going through quite a bit. And it was at this point that I think I was all the way down at the depths. But I don't choose, and I would never choose to change that time in my life for anything. I think it was so beneficial. And what that did for me, and for Susan as well. Susan was so faithful during that time where she knew that I was struggling to pray for me. She was so faithful to share Scripture with me. And so coming out of that and God just opening my eyes, I've never doubted from that point on my own salvation. I've never doubted it. Each day, again, is not free from sin, as all of us know. We struggle, as Paul struggled in the Scriptures with his own flesh. I daily struggle with my own flesh, and I daily struggle with temptation. But I've never doubted my salvation from that point. And God was just amazingly faithful. We lived in Richmond for 6 years total. I was teaching in a public school. I did get a job teaching biology in a public school. And that in itself was a challenge, those 6 years. But looking back, I just noticing how God puts you in certain places at certain times and in certain ways, that challenge for me teaching in a public school and experiencing all of the dynamics of teaching in a public school as a Christian, really, again, forced me to the Scriptures. And I think that in my own life and in our own lives, we need to really thank God for those points in our lives where He forces us to the Scriptures. Because that is just so beneficial. I don't want a comfortable life any longer. Some days I want comfort. I think we all want comfort. But I want to live a life that God puts whatever He wants in my life to draw me to Himself and draw me to the Scriptures. And so this was a point again in our lives where We were struggling. We had made this commitment. By this point, Josiah was born. But we had made this commitment, Susan and I, even before Josiah was born, that when we had children, God graced us with children, that Susan would stay home with the children. And so I took it on myself to work. It was my task. It was my job to work. She was staying home raising Josiah at home. And shortly after that, in 2005, Mariah was born. And I was working in the public school. And again, challenging days. But God was so faithful to us. Well, about 2007, we once again really felt that God was doing something different in our lives. And we had never really lost our overall desire to serve internationally. That was something that God continually put on our hearts and minds as we prayed together and read Scripture together. And so we started to pray about what the next option was. And I was a teacher, so we started to look. What are the opportunities internationally to serve God, to use the trade that He's given me, which is teaching science, biology particularly. And we prayed about it, and that was a stressful time because it's a lot of uncertainty. And we basically put ourselves out there and said, we are willing to go anywhere God calls us. First, we started to look at Portugal again because we were comfortable with Portugal. But quickly, God closed those doors. And Portugal was not going to be an option. So we just said, wherever you want us, Lord, wherever you want us. That's a scary time. I had schools contacting me from all over the world. Where do you go? Well, all we could do is go to the Lord and pray about it. And really try to seek His will and figure out where He was leading. Well, we were confident after a while that it was to Bangkok, Thailand. Obviously, neither one of us had ever been there before. But God, little by little, before leading up to this, God put Asians in our life. We had started to really conduct and lead a ministry at the church that we were at to international students at Virginia Commonwealth University, VCU. And one of the first close friends we had with internationals was a Thai student. And at that point, you know, we were just friends and trying to support her. But little by little, God kept putting Asians in our contact. And so when this job in Bangkok came open at International Community School, we really started to pray about it and realized that God was leading us to Asia. And this was where God was leading us, to Bangkok. Bangkok, there's a few here that have some connection to Thailand, and it's a challenge to live in Bangkok, in Thailand in general. Obviously, the major challenge is the spiritual dimension of the country. They are Buddhist in the books. They are Buddhist, but they are really all over the place, meaning they incorporate all sorts of Hindu religion and basically animism. You name it, it's found. It's if I could just describe it for you, around every corner there's a little spirit house that holds their gods, and it's quite overwhelming spiritually, very dark. But God led us here, and we were teaching. I was teaching in a Christian school in Bangkok. And so that was wonderful. The experience at the school that I taught at was absolutely amazing. But the challenges were great. Living in a country where there's not really hostility in most cases to Christianity. There's just overt spiritual darkness. And I think I came into Thailand with some naive notions that I would be the one that shows them what Christianity is all about, and they would flock and come to know Christ. That didn't happen. I was a little naive, not understanding the true nature of the spiritual darkness there. And understanding at this point my own spiritual darkness. But now realizing that all humans are in the state of spiritual darkness. And to compound that, where you've got a culture that accepts openly all sorts of satanic influences, it is a supreme challenge. God showed to me, in the 6 years that I was in Thailand, God showed me that there was nothing that I was going to do to change that. I could not put on any sort of display, or I could not come with all sorts of bells and whistles, and that was going to convert an individual from their darkness. It wasn't going to happen. That the only thing that I could hope for was God's Word and His Spirit in their lives. And so God really showed me in our time in Thailand that conversion is supernatural. It is not done by, again, bells and whistles and parades and all sorts of fancy things, and it's not tricks, and that doesn't work. A man's heart is depraved, and the only hope for it is that God's grace would fall upon it. And so our time in Thailand, and for me specifically, I really started to delve into the Scriptures again, because I was faced before me with this dilemma. I was always kind of considered myself as somebody that was out there doing evangelism. I really enjoyed evangelism. Really somebody that wanted to see conversions. But God showed me a lot of my own pride in that it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me going to Thailand and me converting Thais. That wasn't going to happen. If I used my own abilities, nothing would happen. And so I was really challenged. Went to the Scriptures, as I said, and God grew me a lot. And this, we did not grow up in the Reformed tradition, neither Susan nor myself. But I really in Thailand started to search the Scriptures, really started to read, and little by little became convinced of the Reformed position. And God had already shown me the depth of my own sin. So accepting something like total depravity was not a difficult thing for me. And then seeing how sinful humanity in general was, that was not a difficult thing. So I really just started to seek God for His will. What can I do? I can be faithful in Thailand. And that's really what I prayed that I would be, is faithful to God in the presentation of the gospel in whatever situation that was. And God gave me opportunities both in the church that we were belonging to in Thailand and also the school that I was teaching at. And I really, really thank God for that, because the school that I was teaching at is a Christian school. Every single faculty on campus is a Christian. But only about 25% of the students are Christian. And so the school opens up to any who would want to come and get a Christian English education. Of course, a lot of people that came to our school just wanted the English education. That's what they wanted. And so we provided a good, strong English education, but we also had all the freedom in the world to share our faith. And I felt like, God, if you put me in this position, I'm going to take advantage of it. And I'm going to do everything I can to use this. And so God was gracious. He allowed me to speak in chapel events frequently. And I took those opportunities and really wanted to lay out the gospel plan and lay it out. And little by little, God started to show me that the preaching and the teaching of Scripture is what penetrates the heart. And there is nothing else. His Spirit, culminating with the preaching and the teaching of Scripture, is what turns a stony heart into a heart of flesh. And so he really started to encourage me to teach the Scriptures and gave me opportunities to do that. And I just felt, over our 6 years in Thailand, just felt more and more like it is the Scriptures. We need to get back to the Scriptures. I need to get back to the Scriptures. I need to teach the Scriptures. I need to preach the Scriptures if given the opportunity. And if it is God's will, He will change the heart. And so little by little, He showed me that, which led me to led us to a very important decision after the sixth year in Thailand, and that is to return to the U.S. and to start seminary courses. And to trust God that this was the direction that He was leading in my own life, that is to teach the Scriptures or to preach the Scriptures as He desires, but to come back, to study, and just to rely on God wherever He leads. So in a sense, we are here we're not here because we wanted to leave Thailand. Some days we look back and we say, why do we leave? We thought that was where God led us, and He did, and we grew a lot there. But now we look and say, well, this is where He wants us now. And we didn't leave Thailand because we wanted to leave Thailand, and we did not leave the school that I was teaching at because it was an unhealthy situation or a bad situation. We left because we felt strongly that God was leading in this direction. And so we're here. As you know, I accepted a job at Blue Ridge Christian School. And so that's what's brought us to this area, and particularly this church. Several factors led us to this church, but we're so thankful that God led us to this church, and we have already grown amazingly. And we look forward to all that God's going to do in our own lives. So I hope that gives you a generalized picture of my life and what God has done through the years. Obviously, there's a lot of details there that are left out, and I think that in some cases, all the details don't need to be shared. Understanding that we all struggle, and I certainly have struggled in my life with my inborn sin, and with the challenges that have been placed before us, before me. But God has been so gracious. And I really wanted my testimony and my time here to really come to that point again of God's faithfulness and trusting in God and knowing that God is leading. And we have, Susan and I have done that since we were married. And God has done amazing things. And we are so grateful. And where God's leading in the future, well, we'll leave that up to Him. I've come to the point in my life anymore where I don't want to dictate anything. I don't want to say this, that, or the other. I don't know. I just want to be faithful with the days that He's given us. And so at this point, He's put us here, and I want to be faithful to that call. And so what the future holds is in God's hands, as we know, and He will reveal that as His time sees fit. So with that, I will now let Susan come up.
He didn't leave out too many details, except that in Thailand, we were blessed with two more children, if you don't know us yet. We were very grateful to be given Elijah and Nora there in Bangkok. And I was extremely nervous about having a baby overseas, but it actually was a blessing. It was much calmer than America. And they don't worry so much about every little thing. Maybe because they thought I knew how to do this, I'd done this before. But they really, and we didn't have a barrage of visitors. We were away from home. So it was just a really calm, blessed time, actually. So But I'll go back to the beginning. I was born in Moneta, Virginia, which is funny because most people don't have a clue where that is. And there are two people that I know of in this church that have also lived in Moneta. So, and you guys support a wonderful church there. But I did grow up in the small town, and I was in a Christian home. My parents were also divorced. But unlike Andrew, I did not go through any major transition. My parents divorced when I was a baby, so I don't remember it. And I actually find that a blessing because I never knew my life any different. My dad lived in one house, my mom lived in the other, and that was just my life. So if it had to happen, I feel like that it was okay that I grew up just knowing this is the way life was for me. I lived two doors down from the church that I went to, and I was there all the time. Even by the time I was in elementary school, even if my mom didn't go, I went. I walked, or I called someone to pick me up if it was cold. So I was in church. I thought it was a wonderful, loving place to be. I also was a rule follower, and so this is what I was supposed to do. I went to church. I memorized scriptures. I studied my lesson. I did whatever the teacher asked me to do. I was very much a studious little girl. So that was my life of following the rules. Did, you know, in school I was a good kid. And I do remember going through some trying times and knowing that I had God to rely on. And it was in middle school that I really look back and see that there was a war for my heart going on. And sorry, this is why I don't like doing this, because I always get emotional. But yes, I was 13 when I made my profession of faith public to the whole church, and I was baptized. And during that next year, that was a trying year in my life, because I know I look back and I see where there were specific times that I made wrong choices, or I had those choices put before me that had never been put there before. So I had to come through that time knowing who was going to be the Lord of my heart and who was going to, how was I going to choose to live? Was I going to choose to live for Christ? So by the time high school hit, I was pretty sure that God was going to be in charge of my life. And by the time I was 17, I can really look back and see the first year of tremendous growth in my life. I started studying the Bible daily. I was looking, making sure I was hanging around with Christian friends. I was started teaching the kids Sunday school class, which actually they questioned in my church, should a teenager be doing it? And it grew my faith exponentially. I had to study my lesson to teach, so I was studying daily and preparing, and I grew so much in that time. And then when I went to college the next year after that, I sought Christian friends. I sought Bible study groups. I was pretty naive. I was from a really small town where going to public school still meant you had Christian teachers and a lot of Christian influences around you. So I was really naive to secular college. And I thank God so much for the things He saved me from that I don't even know. Because I did find good friends and Bible studies and things. And even in my high school years, I look back and I think of so many things that could have ensnared me but didn't. I can't sit here and tell you a testimony of drugs or drinking or even horrible tragedies that happened in my life, because God saved me from those, and He saved me and protected me at an early age, and I'm thankful. And I know that's a testimony. I love hearing testimonies of dramatic changes in people's life. But to know that step by step, each little thing He protected me from, people were praying for me, I know that that is the testimony He gave me. But He did save me from horrible things, from my own selfishness, my own pride, those sins of thinking I could do it all by myself, and if I followed the rules, I would be okay. Even today, I still struggle with that, with my own kids, like teaching them to obey versus teaching them grace. And it's, I want them to follow the rules, but there's a God who gives us grace when we mess up every time, and that mercy that He gives us. So that's still sometimes the war in my own life, of knowing that Christ daily walks with me through every one of those ups and downs, and it's only by His grace that I can make it through that day. So yes, college was another huge growth in my spiritual life, and Andrew had the story pretty right. He just laughs because he doesn't remember the first time he talked to me, his freshman year. And I remember that conversation very vividly, meeting him, but he doesn't remember that one. So then the next August was when he actually remembers our first conversations. And it was definitely a reason. I went to college to be a teacher. He went to college to be a soccer player. God brought us together, and we are so thankful for that meeting. And I did get my degree in education, went on to teach kindergarten a couple of years, taught seventh grade a little bit. I taught missionary kids. When we taught, we were one-room schoolhouse. The kids came to our apartment, and between he and I, we taught everything. And our students were 5th grade to 11th grade. So that was a wonderful time of being a team and learning that we only had each other. And if, you know, if it was going to happen, I mean, he taught odd things like photography and Spanish while he was learning Portuguese, but he had to teach Spanish to the students. So it was definitely a growing experience in our relationship. I echo that. I thought it was funny because we didn't write this together, but I wrote the exact same thing about how we had to rely on God during that time in Portugal, first and foremost, and then each other. Because like he said, I'd never been overseas. I remember clinging to the verse about being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we do not see. Because in my mind, a foreign country was very foreign. And I had nothing to gauge it on. Where was I going? What was I going to do? Who was going to be there waiting for us when we got off the plane? We didn't know them. This was the days before Skype, so we'd never seen them. I saw a photograph of them that was several years old, and I'm hoping that I kind of recognize them when I get off the plane. So it was definitely a huge leap to leave the country, to leave my family. I guess I kind of skipped a little bit of that first year of us being married, but I totally agree that it was our hardest year. But I also saw one huge testimony of God that year. The first time when we got papers about going overseas, there was a pink sheet that was on top. All the other papers were white, and I still remember it was pink. And it said, if you have debt, you cannot go unless your loan allows you to defer the debt. And Andrew had college loans, and he was just graduating. We were just married, and we're thinking, is this an obstacle? We can't go overseas. We have college loans, and they're saying you can't do this because the job only, it wasn't really a job, it was a missionary placement. They just paid for your food and your housing. They didn't give you any extra money to pay off a loan. So we gave that to God, and in that first year, there was only 6 months of our marriage, of our entire life, that we ever both worked. And that 6 months, we paid off his entire $8,000 of loans. And we learned to live on one income from the moment we got married, which has been a huge blessing. So I see that year as one of the biggest testimonies to God teaching us to live in the means He's given us, and that He'll take care of the obstacles if there is an obstacle. So, yes, Portugal was amazing. It was also a lonely time for me. I was, my mom says I called and cried to her on the phone more times than she wants to recount. And so it was a really hard time of being alone, but learning to trust in the God that was calling me there and in my husband and our relationship. And then, yes, we moved back, and that was hard for Andrew. It was hard for me to watch him go through the struggles because it was, I mean, we're expecting a child. We don't have jobs. We move. We wanted so much to be independent from our family, so we didn't want them to know we were struggling. And it was hard. But God was so faithful, and we are so amazed to say that, yes, it was hard then, but now we look back and we can relate to not having money in your checking account, to having to put things on a credit card and being worried how you're going to pay that bill, to not sleeping at night, to really, really struggling through the days. I got very sick when I was pregnant with Josiah. It was definitely trials and spiritual warfare, but God brought us through to say today what a grand, amazing plan He has. And now I won't go into more details about Thailand. It was a growing time and other reasons, but I just know that every single day I can't make it through without giving my day to God. And if I try to do it on my own, I'm a real flop. So I have to, you know, 4 kids are home with me every day. We're schooling, we're training and teaching them, and I love it. I always dreamed of a big family because I was an only child. I always feel like teaching them at home is the right choice for us. I don't question that, but I know I can't make it through each day without God's grace and sovereignty. And I thank Him for placing us where He has placed us for this moment in time and for the family of Christ that He's given us here. So, thank you.